Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. I'm Barbara Little here with Bishop Michael Mulvey, and this morning we will hear and discuss the Gospel from St. Luke and also talk about the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us and we'll be right back.
The Catholic parish of Nuestra Señora de San Juan de los Lagos Madre de la Iglesia will hold their annual fall festival Sunday, October 27th from 11 a.m. till 9 p.m. They ask you to join them for a day of great family fun, music, and delicious food. There'll be a variety of Mexican food and drinks, as well as chicken barbecue plates, traditional hot dogs, sausage, hamburgers, and various desserts. Live music will be provided by several groups. The church is located at 1755 Frio Street in Corpus Christi. To hear more, call them at 852-0249.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Very well.
Good, and welcome back.
Yes, yeah, still a little jet-lagged, but I'm fine. I was in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. And was it a good trip for you?
It was very good. Never ever thought I would be going, but as many may know, we have a community here in the diocese that's actually still part of the diocese officially and called the SASALT, the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and they have quite a large community in the Philippines. And so just after the general election this summer, in July, I decided with Father Peter Marcelek, who's now the general priest servant, and Sister Megan Mary, the general servant for the sisters, that we should go meet the people that belong to us, you know, and so we kind of get a connection there. And a few others went with us. But it was we were well-received, and in Manila, I have a couple of friends who are bishops in the area, so they met me in Manila for a few days and took me around. And then I flew to Legazpi, where the majority of the society is located, and with the great hospitality from the bishop there and the community, and we had some ordinations. And so it was
busy.
It was pleasurable, but it was not a pleasure trip.
Right.
I was to go work and to really connect with the community there. So it was quite quite enlightening. My first time in Asia. And
halfway around the world.
Long trip both ways, but very, very happy that I went and had a great experience there.
Oh,
so.
How wonderful. Well, good. Well, we're glad to have you back
here
safe and sound. Well, our gospel today is from St. Luke, so if we could prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." And the Lord replied, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your servant who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here immediately and take your place at the table'? Would he not rather say to him, 'Prepare something for me to eat? Put on your apron and wait on me while I eat and drink. You may eat and drink when I finish.' Is he grateful to the servant because he did what was commanded? So should it be with you. When you have done all you have been commanded, say, 'We are unprofitable servants. We have done what we are obliged to do.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When this very first sentence of this gospel, apostles are asking the Lord to increase our faith. I mean, they know that only Jesus can build that.
Right. And we are coming gradually to the conclusion of the year of faith. And
really
that's something that we should have, as a refrain, been saying all year long. And we sort of, and just because the year of faith is up and finished, we don't have to stop. We should, or if we haven't
keep
been doing
going.
It, we need to keep doing it. There's always increase our faith, increase our trust, increase the fact that we depend on God, and it's what we were talking about last week on this kind of self-indulgent and kind of inward-looking, narcissistic kind of attitude that we can have. Faith takes us out of that. It makes us, or it asks us, it encourages us, it invites us to place our faith in another, where all possibilities are there. This is the joy of faith. You know, some people, unfortunately, the detractors of people of faith and religion say, you're being oppressed, you have to follow all these rules, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And there's so many out there who just constantly badger people of faith with that kind of a mentality. Why would you give up your freedom to give it to somebody else? It's not about that. And we're all called to faith, even those who might be detractors from faith. Why? Because faith opens the door to more possibilities, not less. Faith is not about diminishing our dignity as a human being. It's not about subjecting our own person and reason to another. It's about new possibilities. And that's why Jesus starts explaining that by saying, if you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you would say to this mulberry tree, which can grow high, tall, and huge, that you'd be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It's a promise to have that kind of faith, so that what looks to be impossible in life becomes possible. That's the seed of faith. And if you look at so many examples, I was at Holy Cross Parish here in Corpus Christi a few Sundays ago, and I used that word of the mustard seed. They're beginning to celebrate 100 years of as a parish, and a beautiful community, very diverse. But I said, you know, back in 1914, to celebrate 100 years, mm-hmm. we have to go back to 1914. Really, there wasn't even a community yet, but it was an idea mm-hmm. of Bishop Nussbaum, who was the bishop here, in trying to serve a portion of the people, the African American people here. I said that idea, mm-hmm. and probably he had talked to somebody here in Corpus that was African American. It's a mustard seed. It's a little seed. And now, through the years, I mean, they had a large community with a school, et cetera. These are the mustard seeds. So what seems thriving. Impossible now becomes possible. And that's what this year of faith is about, is to not look at what can't be, but to have the attitude of what can be. That's faith. And we can become so oppressed, even in our ministry, whether we're involved in this ministry or that ministry, we can be so oppressed and be so backward if we say, well, we can't do it. It's impossible. It's too much. We'll never get there. With that attitude, you're right. You will never, ever get there. It's to the dreamers, but the dreamers of faith, that things happen. Because that's leadership. When a person can see what is possible, and not only from his own or her own point of view, but taking that into prayer and placing that on the altar of Almighty God and saying, if you want it, I want it. This is my thought. If it's your thought, let's make it happen. You make it happen. I'll cooperate. If it's not, then it'll dissipate and go away. But that is losing the controls. Faith is not about controlling anything or anybody. It's about opening our hearts and our minds to what is possible in God. And that is another dimension. So faith has nothing to do about being oppressed, being suppressed, repressed, whatever the press is. It's not about that. It is about what is possible. Mm-hmm. And this is what Jesus is telling us in the gospel today.
Well, and it's such a beautiful meaning. You know, what he's teaching us, too, is that God's grace is freely given and that there's nothing we can do to earn it.
Right. And that's another part of this. You know, I think we live in a culture, a mentality, really, more than a culture. I think a mentality has set in to all of us. You know, we talk about the entitlement society.
Right.
Well, yes, but if we maybe tag some people or a portion of people with the word entitlement, but that's everybody. In a sense, we've adopted or adapted this mentality of being entitled to something. I've done a good job, I should get a reward. I mowed the grass for the family, I should be paid, etc. And it's just something that I did this, you owe me this. And Jesus, in order to increase faith, in order to be a person of faith, we have to have the mentality that we see in the second part of this gospel. What servant among you who has come in from plowing and tending the sheep in the field, in other words, who have done their job that they're paid for, but they've finished their job, who's going to come in to the person that they work for and say, okay, now I'm going to sit down and you serve me? He said, no. The master, and he's using that language of his day, says, no, I'll eat first. The other part of your job is to come in from the field, feed me, and then you can eat. Now, that to us, that sounds pretty harsh and pretty absurd, and, you know, we're not slaves. But Jesus is speaking in his own time. We have to translate that into our own language. So he says, is the master going to be grateful because he just did what he was supposed to do? No. The word is humility, that the servant comes in and says, I've just done what I was supposed to do, what I was obliged to do. So it's a spirit of humility. Mm-hmm. Without humility, you can't have faith. A faith will not increase in any person who does not humble him or herself in front of God, because humility puts me on the right plane, on the right level of who I am and who God is. When we become self-sufficient, when we direct our own life, we're gradually trying to lift ourselves up to the level of God, and therefore we don't need you anymore. And that's what happens without faith. But the person who simply, at the end of each day, is tired, has simply done what is called the will of God, has done their work, has been with their family, and does everything well in the present moment of life, has finished with, and they just say, that's who I am. I don't expect anything. That's where faith increases. That's when they're able to look beyond themselves and dream to see what is possible and not be burdened by what the other mentality would say, what's not possible.
Because the other mentality, I would think, fails to realize that everything they have is due to God.
It's stewardship, right, exactly. It's stewardship of life, that the work that I do, the offering that I make of my resources, the time that I give, is just, it's part of God's will, it's part of God's plan, and I live within that plan and expect nothing more for it. And that's where faith increases, and that's where God gives back to us 100 times more than we ever thought we could ever give. And I would really encourage all of us, as we seek to be good stewards, to remember that nothing is given, time, talent, or treasure, that will not, if it's given in faith, and that's what we say, increase our faith, that's not given in faith, it will not be given back 100 times over.
Well, thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for October. Please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Father Ray Irlas, pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Rockport, invites you to join him and others as they follow the footsteps of St. Paul. This 11-day pilgrimage to Greece and Rome will depart Corpus Christi on July 2, 2014. You'll visit Athens, including the Parthenon, Mars Hill, the House of Parliament, Olympic Stadium, Ephesus, the City of the Bible, tour the Basilica of St. John, the Isle of Patmos, and then on to Rome with its Colosseum, the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, and so much more. For complete information or to reserve your place on this pilgrimage, call Father Ray at 361-729-9203.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, Bishop, during our break, you were telling me a story in regards to what we were talking about in the first part
increase our faith. Yeah, I'd like to just share it real quick. It's when I first came to the diocese. Within a few months, I visited the Schoenstatt sisters, and if they're listening, I just want you to know how much I appreciated this story of faith. And probably some people here know it. But anyway, when the sisters were first asked to come to the diocese, they were, I believe, in South Africa. And, of course, back in those days, you got on a ship. That's about the only way. And so they were coming across the Atlantic, and as they were getting closer, I guess it was probably hurricane season, and as they got into the Gulf Florida and that area, I mean, there was predictions of hurricanes and et cetera. And but they were the ship that they were on was going to land at Mobile, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know how they were going to get to Corpus Christi. They didn't know where they were going to go, how they were going to get there. They didn't speak the language, et cetera.
Foreign
et cetera.
Country. Yeah.
So here they are. And then on top of that, they've got this hurricane. So as they're nearing into the Gulf, the hurricane is coming. And so the ship is diverted to Corpus Christi.
Oh, my God.
And they said that I think one or two of them who were still with us were on the ship and said they were praying on the ship every day that they would find their way to Corpus Christi. That's faith. I mean, you know, these are the simple little stories of faith that we can easily overlook.
Right.
But these should inspire us. These sisters did not know the language. They didn't know how are we going to get from Mobile to Corpus, but they trusted that God would somehow do it. Well, a hurricane kind of pushes the ship, diverts the ship over to Corpus Christi, and they land right there where they were supposed to be. So, you know, these are the things that inspire me, and I think that hopefully these and so many other stories in our families, our grandparents, our parents, these are stories that we should encourage each other with, that everything is possible with God.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a wonderful story. Thank you for sharing it with us. Well, we're the first Sunday in October, so we have the Word of Life, and it starts out with, fill your heart.
Right. So this is the Word of Life that we'll try to put together. And, you know, as I was preparing this, Barbara, I was reading the readings of the day, preparing for our Shepherd's View, and then reading this. And I thought, my gosh, you know, all these readings, all these words. But then I really came to appreciate the Word of Life because it's one sentence. So everything that we say, that we meditate upon is so wonderful, but to chew on one sentence for a month, that's mm-hmm. really kind of like, you know, the guiding light for the month.
So it is.
Here is our guiding light for this month. Oh, to know one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. In the verses preceding this one, that is in chapters 13:1-7 of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, St. Paul spoke of the debt we owe to civil authorities, for example, obedience, respect, paying taxes, and underscored the point that even this debt should be paid in a spirit of love. It is a debt that is easy to understand for the simple reason that if we do not pay it, we are subject to a penalty under the law. But then St. Paul goes on to look at another debt, one that is a bit more difficult to understand. It is the debt we owe to our neighbor, the debt that is in harmony with the commandment Jesus left us. What we owe is mutual love in all its various expressions, generosity, attentiveness, trust, mutual esteem, sincerity, and so on. Repeating, owe to no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. This Word of Life points out two things. First of all, love is presented as a debt, that is, something we cannot remain indifferent to, something we cannot put off. It urges us on, it impels us, and will not leave us in peace until we pay it. Mutual love, then, which is love for one another, is not something extra, the result of our lavish generosity that we can neglect without incurring a penalty. These words urge us to put mutual love into practice. Otherwise, we risk betraying our dignity as Christians, called by Jesus to be instruments of His love in the world. Secondly, this sentence tells us that mutual love is the motive, the soul, and the goal toward which every other commandment aims. As a consequence, then, if we want to do the will of God, a cold and judicial observance of his commandments is not enough. We must always keep mutual love in mind as the goal God proposes to us through the commandments. For example, in order to live the seventh commandment well, we cannot stop at "do not steal." But we must commit ourselves to eliminating social injustices. Only in this way will we give evidence of our love of neighbor. Repeating, "Owe to no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law." So how should we live this word of life this month? The subject of love of neighbor has a million nuances. Here we'd like to pinpoint one in particular that seems to be especially indicated by this text. If, as St. Paul says, we owe mutual love to one another, we should be the first to love, as Jesus was toward us. We will thus take the initiative in loving without waiting for our neighbor's love, without putting it off. Let's do it then this month. Let's try to take the first step in loving each person we meet, talk to over the phone, write to, or live with. Let our love be concrete. Let's be more understanding, patient, trusting, persevering, generous, and able to anticipate each person's needs. We will find that our spiritual life will take a qualitative leap forward, not to mention the joy that will fill our hearts. Written by Kara Lubick.
Bishop, I think I say this every time we read the Word of Life for the month, the way it's broken down into the scripture and two things, and then the very last part is, how does this affect us?
How do we do
it? How can we do it every day?
I mean, that's always the key, and I had a friend that called me a couple of weeks ago, and he said, oh my gosh, it was during still in the month of September, and oh my gosh, loving in word, and not just in word, but in deed. Oh my gosh. And I said, well, and don't forget the one before that, because you can't forget one to do the other. Was if you only love those who, oh, he said, I know. If you only love those who love you, no good is that. And now I'm probably going to call him and say,
wait till you see
October. We have a debt, and we have to be more generous, patient, trusting, understanding, persevering, and anticipating someone's needs. That's probably one of the hardest things to do, you know. But it's true. I mean, sometimes when you're with a person or, you know, maybe a person is in a very difficult situation at work or a family member, and you know that this is something that they're going to have to face or do or something they may need, you know. And we can sit back while they haven't. And this is kind of the neglect way of saying, right, well, they didn't ask me yet.
Right.
And yet you know that they're going to need that
assistance.
Little thing, that little assistance. And this word of life is what she's saying is the key, the pinpoint here is take the initiative. And before they even ask, go and say, can I help you with whatever?
And I mean, what everybody can I do to
has,
help?
Right. Yeah. Everybody has to fill in the blank. But it's and you know, this is the life-giving, the generating power of the word. Because it generates love in us. And when there's love in us, there's joy, there's peace, there's harmony. It's when we stop loving. It's when we, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is when we're on that other side of the chasm and we want to love, but we don't. Mm-hmm. And we may remain on the other side of that chasm for eternity if we don't. So this is our chance. These words call us out of ourselves into encountering the other. You can't live Christianity alone. I mean, this is the great fallacy that that many times in different periods of the life of the church that we've fallen into, and yet there's been great saints all along that have called us out of that. You can't live the Christian life. You can't live the gospel by yourself. Even in convents where there may be 5 or 6, 7, 8 sisters or brothers or priests. I mean, they're in that community existence. Why? So that they can, be the first to love, take the initiative, take the last seat at the table, do a point of service, you know, to the other, et cetera, et cetera. That's why our families exist. Our families exist as a cell or as the little church, you know, to put all this into practice. If you can't do it at home, you're not going to do it at work. Mm-hmm. And if you do it at work, you probably have the energy then to come home and do it as well. But every community that we are a part of is where we can practice first and foremost, because as we hear, the debt is to love one another. And so the family, the community that we belong to, that's why we don't, you know, even if we're single, we don't live an existence by ourselves. We're involved in something else with other people. And this is really the debt that we owe to the other, but I would say in many ways to ourselves as well, because mm-hmm. we're the ones who, without wanting to benefit from love, do benefit from it. So let's all try to put this into practice during this month to owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law.
Another wonderful word of life for us to ponder this month. Bishop, if you could close our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Almighty God, make us servants of your law, servants of your love. And may that love fill our life with your joy, your peace, and your harmony. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for sharing this Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi 78407, or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.